Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Kirk Church Podcast. I'm Aaron Elmore, lead pastor at Kirk at the Hills, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is where you can hear messages from all our pastors and guest speakers. Make sure to subscribe and share with anyone who follows the Kirk. If you want to know more about us, visit us at thekirk.com, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at The Kirk Church. Let's get started with today's episode. Well, this morning we are continuing our series in Proverbs. We are to our fifth W out of six, and that W this morning is wrath. So in street language, we're talking about anger today. Maybe that makes you mad. I don't know. What does it look like when you get angry? Do you look like that stereotypical super hothead? We have this character from a film that I'm not going to mention because I don't want to get our live stream shut down, but popular character Anger from a film that's come out in two versions in the last decade. The thing about anger is we typically think of the person that looks like this, the hothead, that short-tempered, short-fused person, as that's the type of person who has anger problems. But the reality is to be human is to be angry. It is a human emotion. We all deal with it. We all struggle with how we respond to our anger in appropriate and productive ways. And I think if we're honest, it's one of those areas that we get it wrong a lot, and we realize that we cause a lot of damage in other people's lives and our own when we don't deal with our anger. It's helpful to understand the starting point that there are three categories of anger, three broad categories. First of all, we have God's anger or wrath, which is always righteous. Amen. And then we have human anger, which falls into two categories, human righteous anger and human unrighteous anger. We're going to spend the majority of our time this morning talking about that third category because I think that's our primary experience of anger, which is that we do it in ways that are unrighteous and are truly sinful. And we have a lot of work to do. So just really quickly here, understanding these categories, anger is a little bit different from a lot of other sins we think of, like lust and greed, where there is no positive version. In anger, there is a right version, beginning with God's righteous anger, which is God's holy and justified response to sin. You could say it is right and it is righteous. And what is God angry about? Well, God is angry about sin and its consequences. And the primary sin we see that gets God very angry in the Bible is idolatry. Anytime we try to place something else with God or above God in terms of importance in our life, then God gets very angry. Now, some people today will say, you know what? I don't want to believe in an angry God. I only want to believe in love and grace and mercy. But the thing is, you can't have one without the other, because the most unloving thing that God could do is to not deal with our sin and our broken world. As truly unloving and as unmerciful, God must be, because of God's righteousness and his holiness and his justice, he must express his wrath towards sin because the world is not right. His wrath must be satisfied, and praise God, we've already heard the sermon this morning. We have already experienced it and sang about it. The wrath of God has been satisfied by the blood of Jesus. Amen. We celebrated at the table this morning. But God is angry. We see, here's a couple of examples. Numbers 32, 13. God was angry at his people because of their grumbling and complaining and their idolatry and ultimately because of their disobedience. And so the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until the entire generation of those who had done evil in the sight of the Lord was destroyed. It's harsh punishment. We don't know how to wrap our minds around 40 years. But God is a God of wrath. 1 Kings 14:9, we see that God pours out his wrath on individual people. He expressed his anger at King Jeroboam for leading the northern kingdom of Israel into idol worship. He says, "You have done more evil than all who have lived before you. You've made for yourself other gods, idols made of metal. You have aroused my anger and turned your back on me." Those are not words you want to hear from your Creator. Let's try to avoid that. Psalm 7:11, David is reflecting in this psalm. It's a prayer where he appeals to God for protection and justice against his enemies and those who falsely accuse him. And David concludes this: "God is a righteous judge. a God who displays his wrath every day. And then we see an example of Jesus, Matthew 21. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Jesus was angry, but rightly so, in a just and holy way. And this, of course, is one of those examples where we'll take it really out of context and people will say, well, I'm right in being angry because Jesus was angry after all, right? Except the way that they're expressing angry is not a holy and just way at all, right? You are not Jesus, right? We're trying to be like Jesus, but you are not him. And don't take his example completely out of context to justify your unrighteous anger, okay? So we're going to work through that this morning. God's right and righteous anger is why we need the cross. The wrath of God is real, and so is his mercy, and so is his grace. He has provided a solution to his wrath that it can be satisfied. There is a category of human righteous anger. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says this, in your anger, do not sin. Interesting, which means you can be angry and yet not sin. You can experience the feeling and yet not sin in response to that. That's why some will say that the very experience of anger isn't always in and of itself a sinful thing. It's how we respond to it, what we do with it. In fact, it can be productive. There are things that are worth getting angry about in the world, and sometimes that anger will motivate us to take action. There are unrighteous things, there are unholy things, there are evil things in the world that we must be rightly angry about, and that anger can drive us to, by the grace of God, be a part of his solution to bring justice in those areas. Even within relationships, we can experience that anger and it can drive us towards reaching solutions and drawing toward another person. But most of the time, we know that's not what we do. Paul is quoting Psalms again, where David reflects and says, be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your own beds and be silent. Selah, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There's a way to respond with a right heart to anger. Anger that is rightly ordered is directed at the right things and expressed in an appropriate manner for an appropriate amount of time. But unlike sinful anger, which is provoked by what we love and value most, righteous anger is provoked at the violation of what God loves and values. So the question here is, what are we loving and what are we valuing? And we get into so much trouble with anger because our hearts are disordered. We're loving the wrong thing too much, and primarily that is self. So we see that pride is underlying our acts of anger. In order for our anger to be righteous, it must be a response to an actual sin, not a perceived thing that we think that should have gone our way. But an actual sin, it must be God-focused, it must be accompanied by other godly qualities, love, patience, kindness, self-control, the fruits of the Spirit, and must be expressed in a godly way. So in other words, it's really difficult for humans to do anger right. But it is a thing. There is a righteous anger. God made us in his image, and our emotions including anger, reflect his image. But because of our sinful nature, it's difficult to express our anger in appropriate and healthy ways. So the final category is human unrighteous anger. James says this, my brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Proverbs 13:10, our first verse this morning that we read, where there is strife, there is pride. Our unrighteous anger is always rooted in pride, in excessive self-love. But wisdom is found in those who will take advice. So what is anger? There's many ways we could define it. I'll submit to you this definition of anger. Anger is a passionate and active response of the entire person to a real or perceived sense that someone or something has done you wrong. Real or perceived sense that someone or something has done you wrong. We get angry at someone because their actions threaten our comfort, our power, our ego, or simply our plans and desires. In other words, pride is the root of unrighteous anger. We don't always have accurate assessment of whether we have been wronged. And even when we have genuinely been wronged, we are not righteous enough to judge it properly and respond in a holy and righteous way. It's difficult. And so we regard the person or the situation as bad, as negative, even evil, because it interferes with what we want. The whole person is involved in anger. It's not just an emotion that affects us. We are holistic beings. It affects us physically. If undealt with, our anger ultimately will hurt us more than those that we're trying to get back at. But a tricky aspect of anger is that it often feels so right, doesn't it? It feels justified. In fact, when we let our anger out and we just explode, it kind of feels better sometimes in the moment. We think, oh, I feel better. Except we look behind us and we're like a F5 tornado that is just flattened all in our path. We've caused horrible damage and destruction. We think, well, I actually feel good now. Let that out. It's tricky. We get angry because we think we're right. We think our way is better. We think that we're more important. The underlying message of the angry person is that things ought to go my way, and if they don't, beware. Now, there are different manifestations of anger. 29:22 says an angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. That's like the little red figure there. That's the typical short-fused hothead, the person that we usually think of that expresses anger in this way as being an angry person. But 21:19 gives us a different example. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife. You see, there are different ways to express our anger. Just because you don't have that short fuse doesn't mean you don't deal with anger. It can be expressed in many ways, through frustration, resentment, being passive-aggressive, seeking revenge, giving the silent treatment, constantly bringing up hurts or failures. Anger can be expressed through shouting or through pouting, through blowing up or clamming up. Short-fused, hot-tempered anger, or the record-keeping wrath of a bitter, cold-hearted person who never forgives. It's all rooted in anger. And some describe this difference as hot anger or cold anger. And what's underneath all of our anger? Because we've come to understand anger doesn't just come from nowhere. Anger is often described as a secondary emotion. It's a response to some other feeling that's going on in our life. And so we have these two diagrams here, the anger iceberg and the anger volcano. So there's two things that are important to understand about this. The first one is simply the principle that whatever is showing, whatever is manifesting the anger, that's what we see. But underneath it all, why are you angry? It could be situational. It could just be because you're tired or you're hungry, you're hangry, right? It could be because you're feeling grief or loss, you're feeling misunderstood, you're feeling fearful. They're all that you're feeling hurt, rejected, you're feeling a lack of connection, all different kinds of things going on under the surface. And what we see is the anger. And this is like that cold anger that's just sort of sitting there, and we realize sometimes with the iceberg, a very small percentage is above the water, and there's so much going below. But we all know that an iceberg can just be sitting there. It can take out a ginormous ship, right? We've all heard stories of such things happening, right? But then on the other hand, anger can be like that volcano. And again, there's all that going on under the surface, but that's more like the hot-tempered person that just explodes that hot lava all over everything. It seems to come out of nowhere really quickly, causing devastation. But an iceberg or a volcano, either one can ruin your day or your week or your life. Our anger may be born from a desire for justice or esteem or comfort or approval or security. None of those things inherently sinful and wrong in and of themselves. Our anger reveals what we value, what's precious to us, what we hold in high regard. But when we seek the fulfillment of those desires in ways that are unrighteous, we violate God's will. What follows may be a hot torrent of lava or a slow onslaught of the icy glacier of resentment. But according to Proverbs, being a wrathful, vengeful, bitter, angry, quick-tempered, unforgiving person is the path of foolishness. It's the opposite of wisdom that we're striving for. Sinful human anger doesn't seek God first. It cares more about being right than it does about love. It forgets the mercy that we have been shown. Sinful anger dishonors God. It hinders our prayer life. It causes damage to relationships. It opens us up to spiritual attack. The sin of anger destroys churches and families and business partnerships and marriages. It alienates children and turns our hearts away from God and the warmth of His love. Ultimately, anger destroys us. It's like a skin-eating disease. It just ruins us. And sometimes it happens quickly, and sometimes it happens slowly over time, like just a little bit of poison every day. But anger will destroy us. So what do we do with our anger? I don't want to suggest that what comes is five easy steps to deal with anger in your life, but I think Scripture gives us guidance. We have real resources and power for transformation, to change in this very important area, to change our witness to the world, the transforming power of the gospel. So how do we respond? Well, the first step certainly is confessing. It's confessing that we are a person that deals with anger, that we have sinned, we have done wrong, we have done harm. To confess our sins, our anger. Not to minimize it or excuse it or shift the blame, but to own it. To own our anger and the unrighteous ways that we have presented our anger. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds what? Mercy. Mercy. We need mercy and grace and forgiveness. We must confess our sins to the Lord, but also to the person that we have sinned against. And I think also to other brothers and sisters in Christ who can come alongside of us, who can help us in the right path back towards healing and hope. Begins with confession, acknowledging our sin and that we have a problem, that we struggle with anger. Second step is slowing. Slowing. Now, this strategy is probably even more important for the person that's more like the volcano, that is the short-tempered person that quickly erupts, but I think it's important for all of us. One who is slow to anger has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered exalts foolishness. The idea, if we can just create a little bit of space, a little bit of gap between that initial feeling of anger and what we do next. If we can create some space there, it gives us time for wisdom to kick in, for context to kick in. It gives us time to just breathe for a second. Now, that's really hard to do. Because some of us have trained ourselves for whatever response that is. Now, we've seen it modeled. There's a lot of different reasons that contribute, but we've learned a particular behavior. We've learned things that trigger us and that we get mad at. Again, your personality, your temperament, your life experience, all those things are contributing. But ultimately, it is a behavior that we've wired our brains for. And by the grace of God, we believe that there's always power for change and that God can help us to do things differently. Amen? That's not easy, though. It takes work. It's a work of grace. It is a work that takes time. It takes intentional effort to recognizing the things that trigger us, the things that we tend to get so angry about. But if we can figure out how to slow that process between the feeling and what we do next, we would be wise. Thomas Jefferson is sometimes credited with the following advice: when angry, count to 10 before you speak. If very angry, count to 100. I would add 1,000, whatever it takes. For me, I've come to realize sometimes it takes me about 45 minutes to recover. Now, you don't always have 45 minutes to get your stuff together, but you can at least take 45 seconds and then ask for grace to keep working through that. But slow to become, many times, James, the verse we read earlier, says slow to become angry. We can slow that process down a little bit. The next step is trusting. And I realize up there it says Psalm 3. It's actually Proverbs 3, okay? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Get mad about it, whatever. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's probably one of the more well-known verses in all of Proverbs, and we tend to think of it very generally, but we can apply it here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. That's not just true generally about your life, but apply that to anger. When you are angry and you respond unrighteously, what are you doing? You are leaning on your own understanding. You're responding to a situation out of your understanding of that and what you think would be wise and right. And oftentimes, what we think we're doing is actually making the situation better. I'm going to make this right. Something's been done to me that is unjust and unright, and I don't like that feeling, and so I'm going to make it right. I'm going to let everybody know what it has done to me. But your attempt to make it right makes it worse, right? We're adding fuel to the fire. We put a log on the fire and then we wonder why the flame grows. Because you added fuel to it rather than trying to put it out. We're relying on our own understanding. Underneath our unrighteous anger, fundamentally, is a lack of trust in God. We're saying, God, I don't trust you to make things right. I don't trust your plan. I don't trust you to bring justice in this situation. I don't trust you to provide for me. I'm going to take my life into my own hands. That's what we do with our anger. We're saying, I want to make this right. It's a lack of trust in God. And beyond just trusting, it requires surrendering. James 4 here. And by the way, you'll notice a lot of cross-references to James in this series. There are a lot of similarities between the book of Proverbs and James. Many people will say James reads like a New Testament version of the Proverbs in the different topics that it covers and the way that it presents the material. So it's a good book to kind of read alongside Proverbs. And James writes in chapter 4, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" It's about your heart. Where does that anger come from? It comes from your heart. The desires within you that are waging war, those conflicting desires, those over desires. You desire, but you don't have, so you kill. You covet, but you can't get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Why have you not asked God? Because you're leaning on your own understanding and trying to take the situation into your own hands. And even when you do ask God, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. The selfishness of our underlying anger. What's the solution? Submit yourselves to God. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. It's difficult. It's a radical sacrificial love. It is a different way of being human. And it requires the filling of the Holy Spirit. As I was reading Proverbs on this topic, going through, there's so many different ones, I noticed a trend where the right response to anger is to be filled with the Spirit. You see the fruit of the Spirit. Look there. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrong. A gentle answer turns away wrath. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. How do we deal rightly with our anger and all these things that make us angry and this overwhelming human experience of anger? We have to be filled daily with the Spirit in order to respond righteously and not unrighteously. A solution to our anger is to be filled with the Spirit. Do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Respond with gentleness, which, by the way, isn't weakness. It's not passiveness. Gentleness, this word here, it means strength under control, tempered by humility and love. Gentleness doesn't mean not setting appropriate boundaries with people in your life. It doesn't mean just letting people plow you over. But you don't respond to their sin with your own sin. It may take the gentleness and strength and love and humility to say to someone you love in your life, you have a problem and you need to get help. Because anger is destroying you, or it's destroying your family, it's destroying your relationships. That's not unloving. It takes gentleness, it takes strength, but it also is a reflection of love. So we're not talking about here just, you know what, there's angry people around you, you just let them blow you over and you just take it. No, Jesus wasn't a weak person. He wasn't passive. He told the truth and he told it in love and he called people to transformation and change. So I think this is just one of those many areas like we're hitting on in this series, like words, that we know we all have some struggle there. And you also may find yourself in a particularly difficult season right now where you're really struggling with anger. And you know it's damaging your life. And if that's you, I'd simply say, you need help. You need to reach out to a pastor. You need to find a counselor. You need to go to an anger management class. You may need a combination of several of those approaches. But anger will ruin your life. It will ruin you. It will destroy you. We can look to the example of the Lord Jesus. He had every right to be angry, and he was righteously angry about the right things, but he was wronged in a way that you and I never will be. He was wronged. And Jesus looked into the face of his murderers and mockers, and he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing." In anger, he trusted the Lord's plan. He submitted himself fully. He was filled with the Spirit and with wisdom in the way that he responded to the most horrible injustice. Now, you're not Jesus, but I hope your goal is to become more like him. And I think that if we will, in this area of anger, we would be better off for it. Our community will be better off for it. Our families will be stronger. But it'll be an incredible witness to the world where we can say there's a different way. There's a Jesus way. And man, I'm not doing it perfect, but I sure am trying. And it's the right path. It's the path to pursue. So I encourage us all this morning that we seek the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what does it look like to uproot anger out of our life, to see our anger positively move us towards change, but to not fall into this pattern of sinful behavior in the way that we respond to our anger, because it's such an important area of our lives. So let's pray now and ask God for his grace and strength to help us. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that you bring us. We thank you for the power of your Spirit that we've sung about this morning, the resurrection power that is at work in us who believe. And God, today we simply come before you humbly. We want to surrender ourselves. We want to submit ourselves to you. We want your resurrection power to help us to respond to our anger in ways that honor and glorify you. Lord, if we're honest, we all have different ways of responding that are unholy, Lord. And so we need your help. We need your power. We need your grace. God, that you could fill us with your character and your righteousness and your holiness. God, help us to remember how much mercy you have shown us, and that your wrath was satisfied by the precious blood of Jesus. And may that transform our relationships and how we look at other people and fill us with an incredible power and grace and strength to live differently and to relate to others differently. Father, for your glory and our good, amen.